You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada and indeed the world's top leaders to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing business issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Mohamed Yunus, Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice, of kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful organizations. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Christiane Germain, co-founder and co-president of the Germain Hotel chain. Thank you, Christiane, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Christiane, tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up and what did your family do for a living?
Well, thank you for having me first. It's a real pleasure to have this conversation with you. I was born in Quebec City, and my family was in the hospitality business, but more the restaurant side of it. So they had restaurants in Quebec City. So I actually grew up in that. I grew up seeing my parents operating restaurants. And then I wasn't very good at school, so I kind of, at an early age, I wanted to quit school, which I did, and I started working in a bank to realize that I needed to spend a little more time at school because I wasn't getting the promotion I wanted to get because my years of school weren't enough. So I actually went back to, and I wanted to learn English, so I went back to school and I decided to go to Toronto and to learn the hotel and restaurant, to get into a hotel and restaurant program in a community college in Toronto, which was Humber College. So I went there, and after that, I kind of got a job in an American company, and I worked in San Francisco, Vancouver, Toronto, and Montreal. And then I joined the family business. In all this time, it was in the restaurant business.
And so how old were you when you joined the family business?
I guess I was about 21.
Okay. But so it's interesting, like my wife's in Quebec City, and she went down to Toronto as well, to Glendon College. But it takes a fair bit of guts as an 18-year-old to go, I'm going to go learn another language.
Yes, but at the same time, when I did that, I was 18 or something like that. So it doesn't, I mean, guts or, no, I don't, it didn't, I don't see it as it took me guts. I just wanted to get out of Quebec City, my home and all that stuff. I wanted to be somewhere else. So to me, it wasn't, no, it's, and even today, when I go back on what I did then, I don't think it was guts. It was just the desire to I was curious. I had the desire to see other things, to meet other people, to be in another environment. Yeah.
So what made you decide to come back to Quebec City and join the family business? Because you were your own woman then, standing your own 2 feet. Was it an emotional decision or was it fairly easy to decide to come back?
I don't think it was an emotional decision. It was just because when I came back, it was just I had that conversation with my father, and I said, okay, yeah, I'll go back, but just for a few months. My intention wasn't to go back forever, which I did then, but it was just like, okay, I'll go back for a few months and help you, because he had just bought a new restaurant, and the restaurant needed to have a bit of cleanup and a bit of a new concept and all that stuff. So I said, I'll give you a hand and I'll go back. And I ended up spending 20 years there.
What kind of restaurant was it?
It was just a family restaurant. Yeah,
It's not still open, I presume.
No, it's not still open. But what I did then, I worked with him for a few months, and then I decided to go and work for this American company I told you about, which was it was called Victoria Station, and that was a concept restaurant, which the restaurant was built inside. A train, you know, trains.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. And it was the specialty was roast beef, and they had 100 restaurants in North America, and they wanted to open to expand in Canada. So I went and worked with them in San Francisco to do my training and then came back to Canada. And after that, after all this traveling, I had the chance to see many concepts, new concepts. And after that, I went back to Quebec City with this new concept in mind. And my dad wanted me to come back. And he said, and I said, well, I will go back. But I've seen this kind of restaurant in the States, and I'd like to do that in Quebec City. So the conditions are, if you want me back, you have to do this restaurant like I want to do it, which he did. And so we changed that concept, that restaurant, into a new concept, and it was very successful. And
what was the concept?
That was, you remember Thursdays, the restaurant in Montreal, which was a combination of bar, restaurant, and it was just about the same. But we added a discotheque to that. So
you're listening to the CO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Christian Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. How many hotels do you have today in Canada?
18.
Mm-hmm. Where do you get ideas from? Because you said, as a Quebecois, I'll go to English Canada, then I'll go to the U.S. Do you still see, where do you get ideas from today? Do you look around the world, or is it more your fertile imagination?
Well, I mean, I guess you look, I mean, I've always, even when I've seen my father traveling the world, not necessarily the world, but traveling quite a bit, especially in the States, to get new ideas for his restaurant. And he was, while he was traveling, he was always working, trying to find new ideas. So today you don't necessarily have to travel to get new ideas, because, I mean, they're all over your internet and all that stuff. And you have to, I guess when you travel, you find new ideas. But now it's, being open to new ideas and trying to change your, it's hard to explain, but it's in my DNA, I guess. It's not, the ideas don't necessarily all come from my head, but they come from years of experience, years of traveling, and the desire to change, to innovate, to bring new concepts. It's part of our family's DNA, I think.
Okay.
So where do we get them? I don't know. You see, I don't know if you've seen the front of the building now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you've seen the mural, and have you had a chance to see? Okay. So we decided to do this last spring, okay? And this, people came to us. Well, what I'm actually talking about, we're in Montreal in our hotel Le Germain on Mansfield, which is the building was built in the 60s. And so we painted an artist. Her name is Michelle. I have to get back to you for the name. The artist is a Canadian artist, and she does murals. And they came to us last spring with this this project. And she said, I'd like to paint the building in all kinds of colors. And she showed us the design. And I said, I thought about it for about, for maybe an hour or so. And I said, what a great idea. And there's no building like this in Montreal. It has never been done. And everybody's really excited about it. So this is the kind of thing I don't think I have seen it elsewhere. But I thought it was just a way of getting out of this pandemic we have been going through for the last year or so. And everything, I mean, our lives are kind of gray. I mean, everything has been really difficult, and difficult physically and difficult mentally. And I said, these colors are going to change a little bit of our day-to-day, of our daily, what we see is, I had this good instinct about it. And we decided to do this. The building is more than 20 stories, and painting 16 of them was, and this is on the building for the next 5 years. So it was,
a bit of a deal.
Yes, yes.
You're listening to the CO Series, and we're hearing from Christian Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. So it's interesting. Your father and mother were entrepreneurs. You've been a bit of a corporate type, but you're more of an entrepreneur. In your experience, what is the heart and mind of the entrepreneur versus the heart and the mind of the corporate type? I worked for IBM, Hitachi, Oxford, and McGill. I'm a corporate person.
Yeah.
What's the difference between the entrepreneur and the corporate?
Well, I mean, the entrepreneur, I think, is it's difficult to answer. This is a question for a teacher, a professor. It's not, it's not a question.
What's a question from a professor?
To be honest with you, I see the difference when I'm in company of a corporate person. The corporate person will probably look. I'm going back to that mural we did. It would probably have taken more time to make that decision. The end result would have could have been the same. But by the time the decision was made, maybe it would have been too late, you know? So I think we have this capacity to be very agile, very, and in a certain way, we are more risk taker. I'm not afraid of taking risk.
Yeah.
Not any kind of risk. And I guess I'm just like anybody else that when you get older, then you're a little more you're more careful about taking risks because you have more to lose. But at the same time, to tell you the truth, exactly what's the difference between the mind of an entrepreneur and the mind of a corporate person? It's just not one thing. It probably, a few things here and there. And agility certainly is one of our. I think it's one of our. Forte, you know, being that agility, and we're good risk takers. And
today I'm delighted to be speaking with Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels across Canada. Next up, we'll talk about Christiane's perspective on the hotel industry at large and her part in it. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. How's occupancy today, sitting here in August and towards the end of summer? What kind of occupancy rates do you have, as much as you can say?
Not much. I mean, it depends. First of all, it depends where in which part of the country we are. Okay, because it's not the business is not even all over the place.
Sure.
So when you talk about more rural, smaller areas, it's not bad. Well, actually, Charlevoix, which is east of here. Is doing extremely, extremely well. We're talking about 100% occupancy in June, July, August, September. I mean, this is really, really good. As you know, domestic travel is really good in Quebec, like anywhere else. And, you know, the more the urban areas, the larger city, Toronto, Montreal, it's a disaster. We fill up on Saturdays, but... Like last night, it was just we had the 15% occupancy, and it's about the same for all the other properties in the city.
Okay, what is a city hotel? How is a city hotel different than a Charlevoix or more of a country resort? How's it different?
The difference is the people that are traveling. Domestic traveling is more into country areas.
But do you run the hotels differently?
Oh, if I run the hotel differently? Yeah. Yes. Because the people expectations, when they go to Charlevoix, they probably stay for 3, 4, 5 days. So you have to keep them busy for those 3, 4, 5 days. You have to have activities and they can get tired of you. So you have to be on top of things all the time. they're more, and for many of them, it's the vacation of the year, or, you know, it's more, so you have to be on top of things, which is not easy these days, because as you know, we have a lot of difficulties with recruitment and all that stuff. So it's, we have our challenges. In a city, people are very busy being in the city. So staying at the hotel is more of a place where you come back at the end of the day and you freshen up and then you go out for dinner or you stay at the hotel for dinner. So it's a different, not approach, because we're very, very, always very much oriented to the customer, but you don't have, the guest is not in the on the property as long as a
fair enough. Yeah. So what makes a great hotel in today's world versus 10 or 15 years ago? What makes a great hotel today in your mind?
You know, I don't think it has changed that much.
Okay.
Because it's, in our case, it has always been about the people, about the guest. And yes, depending on who you are talking to, who you are, the guests, you have to be able to please each one in a very personal way. So you have to pay attention, I guess. You know, it's not something, I don't think you can treat, we here in Montreal, we have 140 rooms. I don't think we can treat the 140 people exactly the same way. So you have to listen, you have to pay attention. And it has always been, when you talk about personalized service, well, you have to listen in order to personalize your service. So I don't think that has changed. You know, you can always, well, there are things that have changed. People are more into, when they travel, they're more into experiencing things. They're more, it's not just about going shopping. It's not just about going, they want to experience new things. They're more open to meeting new people. So the common areas have to be areas where people can actually communicate, you know, so it's, they're more into, but to me, those are things that are, it doesn't change the way you interact with your guests, you know.
Okay. And you're listening to the CO Series, and we're hearing from Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. Who's your most direct competitor? Is it W, the Ritz, the Holiday Inn, Motel 6? Okay, probably not Motel 6, but who would you see as your most direct competitor?
They all are.
Okay.
You know? I mean, if you, no, they all are. Airbnb is my competitor. They all are. Because, you know, sometimes you will stay in a 4-star hotel because this is what you feel like. And yeah, sometimes you'll stay in a 3-star because this is, you know, you're not going to spend a lot of time in the hotel, so you don't need to pay more money. And so, each room of each hotel in the city is my competitor.
Fair enough. So but Airbnb, I mean, it's been a few years now.
Yeah.
But how has that impacted your business? Airbnb?
Well, it makes the offer bigger. So, but at the same time, I think it makes more people to travel. It opens up the world of traveling to more people. And sometimes there are people that will only stay in Airbnbs, but there are people who stay there and they want to try the hotel. They want to, because for some reason they didn't like their experience in an apartment, or they want to try what the hotel is. And so to me is, of course, I would have loved to create that platform. I would have loved to be the one that created that. But it's not the case. But it doesn't, it's fine that Airbnb is there. The only thing that I would criticize about Airbnb is that some of the rules are different than our rules. And this is what I would actually keep on fighting for. I don't mind people renting their apartments, but the rules have to be the same for everyone. So that's probably the only negative thing I have about Airbnb, but the concept, it's fine. That's what evolution is all about, you know?
So you've been on Dragon's Den, the Radio Canada, the French equivalent of Dragon's Den.
Yes.
How long have you been doing that?
Well, I've 5 years.
Okay. I should know, but are you on it today? The season
coming
up?
Well, I was on it last, yes.
Okay.
Yes, this past season.
What's that like? Take us inside kind of the experience. What's it like? I've interviewed Vince Guzzo, who was on the English side.
Yeah.
So just tell us about the experience.
Well, first of all, I have to say it's been 5 years, but I had 2 years full time, 2 years where I was a guest. So okay. It was only a show per season. And I came back because they invited me back this year as a full time dragon. And I decided to go back because I said, oh my God, it's going to be a change of something, because this year, as I just told you, was very difficult. And it was a very good decision to go back because, first of all, my mind was occupied with other stuff than my own stuff, than my own problems. And I was able to see people that were not necessarily young in age, but young businesses, entrepreneurs that were really excited about their business and maybe opportunities for me to invest. But it was more changing, seeing people that were positive about businesses. So it was my best year. Actually, I really liked it. First of all, the team on the on the show was really great, and it was very refreshing to see all these companies, all these new companies, and people very very excited about their company. So no, it was great for me to do this, especially this year. Yeah.
Do you ever invest in any of them?
Actually, on TV, I made this year. I think I made 9 or 10 investments. And if you close 2 of them, it's good. The reality is that, first of all, the show is doing pretty well. And when the company is shown on the air, it sort of it brings a lot of revenues to the company. And when you go back and discuss with them, sometimes the value of the company has changed. And some of them don't even want you to be. They don't even want any partners after the show has been aired. So as I said, if you close 2 of the deals, that's probably what I'm going to do this year. Yeah.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. Next up, we'll talk about Christiane's perspective on what leadership looks like in today's hopefully post-pandemic world. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. There's many more women CEOs than 20 or 30 years ago, but you were one of the fewer women co-presidents, co-founders.
Yeah.
Was that 20, 30 years ago? Was that true that you were one of the few women at the table?
Oh, yes, for sure.
It's much better today from a numbers viewpoint.
Yes, yes.
Has that changed business in any sense at all? Like, can you see an impact of many more women being executives than in the past?
Yes. If I have, it has changed. What has changed? What has made the fact that there are more women? You know, it's funny. I don't want to go into the usual stuff that women are more into people. They care more about people and all that stuff. But I have to say that I'm sure, because a leader today is not the same kind of leader. A good leader today is not the same kind of person that a good leader was 20, 25 years ago. And I'm sure the fact that there are more women has contributed to change that. Women are more about people. The empathy of women is much more natural than I think. So men are now learning those those things. And so a good leader today is not the same as it was before. And I think women are part of that.
Okay. So I'm doing some research with some colleagues in the US and Europe about authentic leadership. Mm-hmm. So we're all for it. But Christiane, what is authentic leadership to
respecting
you?
New values, respecting the people that have been working with you that has for a number of years. And you know, people can actually, because we talk a lot about, you know, communication these days, how important it is to communicate with people. And I think when you communicate, you can do well, and you can learn how to communicate. But I think it's very difficult to learn to communicate to be authentic. You know, it's just something you feel. And that's why I find, and I'm very impressed with good communicators, people that communicate well. And I can tell the ones that are authentic and the ones that have been made good ones, you know?
Okay.
And I think it's authenticity is something that you can feel.
You're listening to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. And today I'm speaking with Christiane Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. So the crisis, the COVID-19 crisis, was there a day when you shut down all the hotels in the country?
Yes.
What date was that?
Well, that was March 13. March 13, we didn't shut down. Sorry, we didn't shut down. I think it was March 20th we shut down. Five of them, and the other ones remained open. We decided to shut down the hotels where we had more than in the cities where we had more than one, so it was five. And that was, and we actually laid off 1,000 employees at that time, because the hotels that remained open were able to be managed by their managers and a few managers and stuff. So we had to lay off most people. We didn't know at the time that we were going to get all the subsidies we thankfully got. So I have to say, Carl, that this was, well, as you can imagine, the worst time of my life, right? So it lasted for a few months. And then, so we're still up. We're still
standing.
So hopefully we'll be able to restart this company.
Was there a dark, did it feel pretty dark at some point in there, March or April, where you went, is this going to be the end of the Germain hotel chain?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's just the feeling that I remember was really like, is this the end? And I remember waking up from, like, in the morning, first of all, taking pills to go to sleep because I wasn't able to sleep, and waking up and really thinking that this was a nightmare. And I mean, I had just had this nightmare, and all of a sudden you realize, well, it's not a nightmare. This is what you're going through. And you get up and you have to face this, you know, you have to face your investors, you have to face your employees, you have to face, well, everyone, your partners. And people are always coming up with the same questions. I mean, are you going to be okay? Well, I don't know if I'm going to be okay, but you can't say to your people, your staff, your closest team, that how exactly you feel, because they, you know, that's not what they want to hear. They want to hear that things are going to be fine, and you're going to make it, and we're strong. So you have to show up, and you have to be strong, and you have to, which I wasn't at all. I was pretty devastated. You know, I remember how exactly I felt then. And, but it was part of it. And it's just, and it shows you how little, how small you are in this world, and how it's a great lesson of humility, you know? Because when you think that you're in charge, when you think that you're not, I never thought that I was so good. Not at all. It's not part. It's not, I'm not like that. But I was having a good time. I was having, and I was at the time in my life where things were starting to, I was starting to collect a little bit from what I had, you know, I had done. And I was seeing the next 10 years of my life being, okay, let's have a bit of fun. And just, you know, I wasn't planning on retiring. I was planning on continuing, but in a lighter way. And all my life, I had invested personally my money in this company. I was making some, and I was reinvesting all the time. So I was now at the time where I was going to collect a little bit.
Yeah, harvest.
And, yes, and all of a sudden, it's all gone. You know, and with the money that's in the bank is being used to make sure you stay there, right? So that was tough. That was really, really, you feel that all you've done your life, you weren't the company, you know. After a few weeks, I said, no, this company, we said, my brother and I, this company is not going to die for sure, but it's going to be very tough for the next 5 years. And what we had planned personally is gone. I mean, that's gone. So, yeah, it took me a while to digest that.
Yeah.
And, but it's okay. Yeah. But it shows you, I was saying, it shows you how small you are. And when you think that you're in charge. And we talk a lot, you know, we do talk a lot about planning. And I say, and I know when we go to school, university, professors talk a lot about strategic planning, which is fine. I don't disagree with that. But there's so much you can do because there's so much you control. I mean, you have to make sure when you do that strategic planning that you can change things very quickly, because you never know what's at the end of it, you know.
Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Christian Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. Next up, we'll talk about whether Christian is an introvert, ambivert, or extrovert, and what she does in her free time. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking today with Christian Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. You've worked in the U.S., Canada, English and French Canada. Do you see any differences in terms of how we do business culturally?
Between French and English Canada, I'm always very concerned about the people. And I think, I mean, people are all different. And are they different because they're English? Are they different because they're French? Are they different because she's a woman or he's a man or he's black or he's... You know, each one has its differences, and each one has a background that's completely different. And I don't tend to put people in categories. You know, I tend to it's probably different, Carl, but I don't look at people like that.
You've been involved quite a bit in. In fact, La Presse said you were one of the most socially engaged executives a few years ago. What are you socially engaged with, and why do you do that?
I guess that's another thing that's part of our DNA. I mean, this is what I have learned from my family. They were very socially engaged. It was very important for my father and my mother to give back. And so early on, as soon as I started, you know, we were talking about the back to Quebec City and this new concept and this new restaurant. Well, as soon as I was back, I was involved in community stuff, and it has never stopped. And it's the same for my brother, and our children are the same. So it's just part of our DNA. We received a lot, and we want to give back a little bit, yeah.
So you're the chair of one of the museums in Quebec City.
Yes.
Which one?
Musée National des Beaux-Arts du Québec. Yeah.
So in English, it's the Fine Arts Museum of Quebec.
Yeah.
Oh, in fact, my wife and I were there
Quebec,
a couple
weeks
ago.
It's our national museum.
Yeah.
You went to see Picasso.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So as the chair of the board, you know, it's all volunteer other than the CEO. At work, you're the boss, putting your brother to the side, and you can, you know, give orders to some degree. How does it work? How's it different in a charity like that where it's volunteers largely?
First of all, Carl, you know, I don't think I have given orders to anybody in the last 5 years or
okay.
so. It's just, you know, we were talking about leadership. I don't think leadership is about giving orders anymore. It's just about inspiring people, and it's about making people, making sure people are making the best decisions for the company, bringing people to make the best decisions,
okay.
you know. So taking orders in my mind is not something you do. And it's the same with the museum. I'm not there to give orders. I'm just there to make sure that collectively we make the right decision for the institution. And it's the same thing with the company. It's just this is more collective than it is you do this and you do that, you know?
Are you a bit different in French than English?
Well, it's much easier for me to communicate in French than it is in English. Am I different? I'm not sure I'm different, but it's easier for me in French for sure.
Okay. And you dream in French and think in French and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. What, are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
I think I'm both. what did I answer last time?
I can't remember.
I can be an introvert. And I think in the last year and a half, everyone has been a little introvert, you know. We have all developed our introvert side because we were so, especially me, I live by myself, I'm alone. So I was just, if you're not, I don't know what I said the last time. I hope it was the same, but I think I'm both, yeah.
And today I'm speaking with Christian Germain, co-president of Germain Hotels. So what kind of breaks do you take to recover from being at work?
Well, traveling has always been very exciting, very resourceful for me, and so I've been missing that very much. But I guess I did what break that I have taken in the last months, were just like everybody else, you know, walk outside and take some fresh air and just keep your mental alert and do some exercise. You know, it was just but I've been very lucky, you know, all this being said, I've been very lucky because I did a bit of traveling while I was,
When the borders are open and you can go anywhere you want.
Yeah.
Where's the go-to place you'd like to go to that you haven't been to or you just love going to?
You know what? I realize, because this is the case, I realize that there's not one place necessarily where I would like to go. I just want to go somewhere. You know, it's just give me the opportunity to go somewhere and change of scenery. Thank you. And but yes, I'm really looking forward to go to Paris, and I'm really looking forward to go to. It's funny though. I was thinking about going to New York because soon we will be able to go there, and it's close by. And I'm not that excited. You know, it's not the place where I'd like to go to Paris. I think going to Paris would be, and doing some hiking, yeah, doing some exercise, going into the mountains and stuff, yeah.
What book are you reading right now?
It's a French book. It's called Prendre un café avec Marie. So it's just a French book. Do you know this guy Serge Bouchard that passed away? And he wrote this book, which is called Prendre un café avec Marie. Marie was his wife.
Having a coffee with my wife.
With my wife. And his wife passed away before him. And he's a great writer and a great thinker. And so I'm reading his book. And it's good for my head.
Where and when are you happiest?
Nature is very important to me. I'm very happy when I'm in the nature. Not all the time, though, but nature helps me to rebuild my strength. And nature for me can be the mountains, can be the ocean. And I like to be around, like mountains and oceans. It's so big. It's so... Les montagnes, c'est majestueux. What's the word for majestueux?
Majestic.
Yes, and it's there. So it helps building back my strength. It's, definitely, yeah.
So when you walk down the street of Montreal, Quebec City, do people recognize you, kind of go, oh, wait a minute?
Well, sometimes people, sometimes people recognize me, and it's, but people are very nice. It's very, it's nice. It's, they come to me and they, people are very, and it's interesting that you talk about that, because we had a lot of people coming to our hotels, and recently they saw me on the show and they heard me on TV or radio, whatever, because I was very loud about the help we needed and stuff. So, and they come to the hotel, they want to give us a break, and they stay in our hotel because they know it has been difficult. And so, yeah, people are very, very nice.
Anybody ask for your autograph?
Oh, it happens, yes.
Okay. This is the CEO Series. Christiane, thank you for joining us today. We'd also like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. Thank you for tuning in to the CEO Series. À la prochaine.